Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Church at Home. This is Fred Coulter, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And we are scripturalists, which means that we go by the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. Now, a lot of people say that, but they really don't mean it. And the reason they don't mean it is because they don't practice it. And the biggest questions that we have today, why is the economy in the shape that it is in? Why is the government, from the lowest level to the highest level, seemingly out of control? And why do we have such huge debts? Why are the illegal immigrants seemingly coming to the point that they're ready to take over Arizona and annex it to Mexico? And why? That everything we try to do doesn't work out. Why do we have crime? Why do we have upside-down families? Why do we have all of the sins and fornication and adultery and party-making and all the things that people do, all the pleasures that they pursue after? And they never asked the question, where is God? They've never asked the question, if there is a God, why would he allow this? Or we might really rephrase it a little different way. Why on earth would he do this? Now, we've covered many subjects on Church at Home. And so today, we are going to cover why God is doing this. Now, some of you may say, I can't believe in a God who would do that. Do you believe that God just wants to give blessings all the time? Do you believe that you are not accountable for your behavior? Well, you might say, well, I'm not a murderer, and I'm not an adulterer, and I'm not lying and cheating and stealing. That's fine. But do you have other gods before you? Do you serve the true God? Do you study His Word? Do you know what is in it? Why do you suppose, as I have mentioned many times before, that especially here in America, the average household has four Bibles? So I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you took down your Bible off the shelf and started to read it? And started to accept it as a message from God to you? Because that's literally what it is. A lot of people want to know, well, why is God doing these things? Well, part of the answer is, number one, you don't understand the history of who you are. And we look at the nation, it was founded on God, founded on the Bible. Why was that? And now we've left him far behind, have we not? Now we find something very interesting in the Bible, and I want you to look at the Church at Home video that we did on the birthright. Who are we as a people? Why did this nation become so great? Was it because we're so smart? Was it because we are so good? Is it because of American ingenuity and initiative? Is it all because of us? Or was it because of God? How did we find ourselves in the blessing of the most wonderful blessed land on earth? Do you think that was a coincidence? Do you think we did it because of how great we are of ourselves? Or did God have a hand in it? Well, we know God had a hand in it. All you have to do is read the founding documents of the United States of America. And all you have to do is go back and read the true history of it and see that they believed in God and trusted God. And they knew that God had put them in this land. And every state in the union, as I have mentioned, says Almighty God in their preamble. So the truth is, God put us here. God sent the Anglo-Saxons and the Northwestern European nation descendants here because they are descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel, so-called lost. But they're not lost. They were never lost to God. And he gave promises that in the latter days, that these blessings would come upon those descendants because of the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if you don't have the book, you download the book, Judah's Scepter, Joseph's Birthright, and you will see that this knowledge has been there for a long time. But it's not accepted by the religious community in America. Oh, that can't be. Why? Did we just come from slime? Did we just come from nothing? Did we just all of a sudden find this nation? Why was it we had the Bible? Why was it that that was the textbook for children? Well, because we are the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. And so the things are coming upon us because we have neglected God. Now, God has set before us choices. Come back here to Deuteronomy 30. Oh, yes, we are to choose. God expects us to work and do and produce. That is absolutely correct. God has sent his word. No one has an excuse. They can't say, who's going to go to heaven to get it for us? Well, the astronauts didn't find the Bible on the moon. And so far, the two rovers haven't found God's word on Mars. But if they had, people would say, oh, let's find out what it is. Who can interpret it for us? No. God says, verse 14, Deuteronomy 30, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. God has provided for you his word in a language that you understand. But do you read it? Do you believe it? Do you keep the commandments of God? What is your life? Do you want nothing but blessings so you can do what you want? Do you want to continue in your beliefs of atheism and evolution and hope that the preachers and pastors would accept that so that you will feel good about what you're doing? So today we're going to find some of the answers as to why this nation is under the pall of oppression and correction from God. And I want you to think about it. And I want you to search your heart and mind. And I want you to understand that every individual is responsible before God. Because here's what God set before us. He didn't send his Bible to be in your home so you could say, oh, priest, would you help me understand this? Oh, well, I can't read this unless I have a minister here. No, God says it's in a language that you understand. Can you read it? Now, don't attempt to solve all of the deep mysteries of some of the very difficult and complex prophecies. We can handle those later. We already have on cbcg.org. But we need to handle the immediate problems as to why things are getting bad and going worse and look like that there is no solution possible. I'm going to tell you why. There are going to be a lot of you who are not going to like it. There are going to be some of you who will be mad. There will be others who will believe it and repent and change. And that's what God desires. See, because God has given us choice, and we have to decide whom we are going to serve and whom we are going to obey. Because after all, he created us. And as Paul wrote, we owe our very existence to him. That he's very near to every one of us if we would call to God. Does that seem strange to you? You'd rather be playing baseball, watching television, going to see a football game, going out to have fun. I had a distraught mother call me the other day. She said, "Oh, my daughter, she must have ADD, attention deficit disorder. Is that inherited?" So I asked her what activities that her teenage daughter was in. And I told her, this can be solved. But she has to have her part in it. She has to stop rock music, rap music, being on the cell phone with her friends, filling her mind with silliness and nonsense, and to stop being sexually active at 15. I haven't heard back from her what her daughter's reaction is going to be. But you see, now the Child Protection Agency will probably say, you can't impose those things upon her. See, because you've relinquished your parental authority to the society because you have forgotten God. Now it's very hard to take it back, isn't it? All of the evil forces are in place. That's why we have church at home, because still the government can't come in and shut you down from learning and finding out about God in your own home. So let's go ahead with the truth here. So God says, behold, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. There it is. God is the one who has set it there. You must choose. The fatal mistake of Adam and Eve was they wanted to decide for themselves what was good and evil. But that's God's prerogative. So I want you to understand something very profound. Personal opinion doesn't matter. Personal opinion and feelings will not help you understand the problem. You must understand the problems from God's Word, and you must understand the choices that you need to make. And you need to realize that perhaps almost every one of your choices have been against God. Oh, how can that be? Well, you'll find out here pretty soon, because we're going to cover it. And I want you to take your individual view, and then I want you to take God's view of what's happening in the world. So here's what God commands. Now, let me tell you one thing about God's command. His word is so sure that all he has to do is speak it, and it will be done. So God commands us. You ever thought about this in your life? Maybe you've never even contemplated God in your life, so don't turn off the church at home video. You need to listen, because God is going to deal with you, and he's going to deal with everyone in this nation. And unless there's a return to God, it isn't going to be pleasant, and it isn't going to be comfortable to talk about, and people will not want to face it. But face it, we must. And face it, you need to as well. And then I command you this day to love the Lord your God. Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being? Or is God even in your thoughts? What is it that you love the most in your life? And if it's not the true God, whatever you love the most in your life is your God. Be it a person, be it a thing, be it an activity, be it politics, be it sports, whatever it is, that's your God. Well, there's another God out there in the world who's called Satan the devil. And he's a great deceiver and very clever and appears as an angel of light and comes to entice people to choose evil, though it may appear to be good. That's why you have to know the Word of God. So go to your library, take down your Bible, open it up, come to Deuteronomy 30, read it for yourself. Continuing, to walk in his ways. What is your way of life? Oh, we have the American way of life. Really? Let's examine that a little bit. Lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, sex addiction, drug addiction, sickness, disease, weather upset. That's the American way today, is it not? Lying, cheating politicians, debt that is so far out into the future there's no hope of recovery. And I want to tell you and forewarn you, it is coming down. And we'll see the reason why. Let's continue here. To keep his commandments. Do you know his commandments? Have you memorized the Ten Commandments? And as I've said before, there's nothing hard and difficult to understand about the Ten Commandments. It does not take a priest to interpret it for you. It does not take a minister to tell you. But too many ministers, as we will see, stand in the pulpit and in the cathedrals and tell people that as long as they do as they are told, and they preach contrary to the Word of God, everything will be fine. That's not what God has said. Because, you see, if you believe that you need a minister to tell you how to understand the Ten Commandments, you believe a lie. Some of them you even know in your own heart by conscience that God put there. So let's just try the Ten Commandments on for size real quickly here. And I want you to think about it. And I want you to see that even though you may have thought yourself to be a good person, the worst kind of sin that a person can be in is when it looks good to them. Because you're contented and do not know that the judgment is coming. That's why you need to get out your Bible. First commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. That what you see in the Christian world today is another Jesus and another God. Let me break it down to you very simple here in just a minute. The second commandment is, you shall not make any graven image of any likeness. Now, what does that mean? You shall not make. That means you're not going to make it, you're not going to construct it, you're not going to sew it, you're not going to mold it, you're not going to cast it, you're not going to carve it. And yet, if you're a Catholic, you go into your Catholic church and what do you see? Idols everywhere. You go into the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church and what do you see? Idols, 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 idols everywhere. And almost every Catholic priest will tell you, well, we don't worship them, we venerate them. Pray tell, what's the difference? But God said, don't make them. So it's not a question of worshiping them to begin with. It's a question that they're made and sanctified by the church and told that this is correct. And hold you in bondage and superstition and fear. Well, I want you to take a good hard look at the Christianity in this world because it's failing. Protestantism, Catholicism. And that's why church at home. See, we haven't even got beyond the second commandment. And look how many sins are there. The third one is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, if you're a Catholic, I challenge you this. Read the Ten Commandments in your catechism book and then go to your Dalway version of the Bible and read the Ten Commandments and you will see that in the catechism book, they have taken out the commandment of not making, not bowing down, not worshiping any idols of anything that's in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. But you go to the Bible with the imprimatur, the Pope on it, Exodus 20, guess what it has? The true second commandment. So in their lying, cheating way, the way that the officials and theologians of the Roman Catholic Church have done, and of course people accept it and they say, oh, You know, like Donahue, the League Against Anti-Catholicism. How dare you? God says to them, how dare you do it? If you do, you're going to be cursed. God says so. All right, third commandment, shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And you know who the biggest violators of this is? All of those who preach in the pulpit, because they preach lies. We'll see that in a little bit. Fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Huh. What's the first thing that people do? Oh, well, the church changed it. Who gave them the authority to? God is the one who gave the commandment. So you need to think about this, because you need to understand this before we go to the real nitty-gritty of in the Bible of what is just around the corner and coming to your city and coming to your town and down your street. Because it is. Why do they say that God changed it when, as we did in our series on the Sabbath, you can search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and not find one word about the sanctity of Sunday? And actually, that's the day of the sun. And the sun god is Baal. Oh, well, we don't worship Baal. Really? Think about it. And those who make the idols, they don't even understand how stupid it is. God wants you to pray directly to him. You don't need an image. You don't need a picture. You don't need an idol. You don't need a rosary. And the day to keep is the seventh day Sabbath, because God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. For in 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord has sanctified the seventh day Sabbath. Oh, but all the activities that happen Friday night and on the Sabbath and all the sales that go on. Well, how could the society be so wrong? Because they've rejected God and had other gods and substituted it. Then honor your father and mother. That's totally disregarded today. Then you shall not murder. Whoo! That is disregarded. Shall not commit adultery. Shall not steal. Shall not bear false witness. Shall not covet. Are those hard to understand? Of course not. But here's the truth of the matter. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you will accept it or not, or whether you're willing to open your heart and mind and ears to realize, God is going to judge you and judge this nation by that standard. And you're going to find out. That's why we are in the trouble we are today. Now notice, he says that he commands you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live. Quite the opposite you hear from the pulpit. Oh, the laws of God are harsh. That old law. Yes, it is old. It's eternal. Founded by the eternal, ever-living God. And it transcends all ages and is true and alive and working and well and is going to judge us. That you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. That's what we've done in America, right? However, we say, God, give us all your blessings because we're so great. And God says, keep my commandments or you're in trouble. And you see, just because God doesn't come down and zap someone immediately for sin doesn't mean that they're getting away with it, because God's judgment is sure to come. And it's coming. It's here. God's judgment is here now. It is God. It's not the economy. It's not the finances. It's not the politics. It's God. You need to understand that. And we'll continue on this for several more segments. You need to realize, where are we, where are we going, and what are you going to expect in the future? And I'm here to tell you, it's going to be very unpleasant. And unless you are prepared and ready, you won't know how to handle it. So I want you to go on our website, cbcg.org, and I want you to download two recent sermons that I've done concerning financing. Debt. It is called Aftershock, the coming global financial meltdown. Because not only is God judging this nation, but every nation in the world and the whole world collectively together. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Red Culver saying to everyone, so long.